Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub, and today I'm going to do a quick review of Rolly slash Agfa Retro 400S film. My review will be for the film in 120. I have not shot it in 35mm, so this is for 120 purposes. And I've been testing a variety of different developers, and I've come up with what I think is a good working solution for this film. First off, why do I even care about this film? When Kodak and Ilford are making, you know, wonderful, and Fuji is still making some wonderful films, you know, why go to, you know, a film such as this? Well, first off, it has some interesting characteristics. It's a classic emulsion film. When you look at the grain structure and you look at the images, the two samples that I posted, it really does have a classic feel to it. And I should point out that I've done very much nothing to these images when I scanned them. That was a scan and a quick little, you know, black point, white point adjustment in Photoshop. So the image quality really is quite stunning right out the door. The images is that they have that classic feel, classic grain structure. And what's interesting about the 400S is that it has sensitivity into the infrared portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. Is it a true infrared film? No, but it most definitely picks up some of the infrared qualities. And what's very interesting to me is that I picked up these qualities in these test images without even using a red filter or a dedicated infrared filter. So this is just the standard visual quality. And you can see how the trees have that lighter sort of infrared glow and how the skin has some of that glow because of that extra red sensitivity in the film. The film is also on a synthetic base. And so for those of you that have never worked with the films on synthetic bases, it does require you to load the film in low light. First off, whenever you're loading 120 film anyways, you should always try to do it in subdued lighting because it is easy to, you know, accidentally wreck the first frame of your film or even the edges of your film if you load it in too bright of light. So I, you know, turn my back, pull my coat over my arms a little bit and, you know, really try to shade the film as much as possible. If you don't take that care loading synthetic-based films, you have a risk of light piping. Which is definitely not a good look. You'll know it if you get it. I, for one, have never had it. And I've shot a lot of different synthetic-based films over the years and have never once had a problem. So I don't know. Just be careful when loading the film. Make sure you do it in subdued light. Another thing that's interesting is the synthetic base, the film dries very, very quickly. Compared to, say, you know, triacetate or Estar, it's an extremely fast-drying film. It's kind of startling, actually. And the film base is completely clear. So from a scanning purposes, it's very easy to scan. You've got an absolutely crystal-clear base. Synthetic-based films also are very strong, so if you do shoot this film in 35mm, you want to be careful. You really can't tear this stuff. So if it jams in your camera, it can actually damage your camera. So, you know, you don't want to try to crank out that last frame. You know, I'm sure you've all had this experience where you're shooting 35mm and you go to advance the film and it sort of stops, you know, because you're at the very end of the roll. With this film, you absolutely don't want to continue to force it in any way, shape, or form because you'll wreck your camera before you wreck the film. The film is that strong. So anyways, back to the film, back to the review. So I ran a lot of different tests with this material, and one thing that you hear a lot of people talking about online is the contrast of the film, that the film is extremely contrasty. And that is very true. There is a lot of contrast to this film. So finding a developer that would tame that contrast was really important. So after doing some research online, I decided initially to try Rodinal. And I would do a stand with Rodinal at 1 to 100 and maybe even 1 to 200 for an hour or 2 hours and see how it looked. And I have to say, I got good results, but not great results. The shadows fell off just way too fast. This film is not very forgiving in the shadows with a conventional developer or even a developer like Rodinal. So after sort of, you know, failing at that attempt, I gave it some more thought. And I said, well, what about PMK? You know, great developer, does require some special care when handling because, you know, it does have toxic components to it. But it's a very easy developer to use once you've used it a couple of times. And so I ran a test of PMK, and the results were actually quite good. Even though this is, you know, marketed as a 400-speed film, I have a feeling it's actually closer to a 200-speed film. And all the developers that I tested, with the exception of one that I'll speak about in a minute, I couldn't really get a usable range beyond, say, exposure index 200. And a note on the metering, because that is important. I spent a fair amount of time with a spot meter metering the scene and making sure that everything would fall within what I would consider an acceptable dynamic range. So everything in the scene that you're seeing in these test images fell between, say, zone 3.5 and zone 7. Nothing fell outside of that range. The sky might have been 8 or 9, but it was all within the range. So if I didn't see it in the negative, it really would be a problem, because this should be a fairly easy scene for, you know, a good film slash developer combination to hit. So I tried the PMK and got a really solid 200 out of it. Really, really happy. To be honest, in Rodinal, which I was talking about a minute ago, I didn't really get much past 100. That I would consider acceptable, due to just the nature of the high contrast of the film. The shadows were just falling into black way too fast. And so it really wasn't, in my mind, my favorite developer combination. PMK was quite good. I ended up going 12 minutes with PMK at 68 degrees Fahrenheit, the standard 1.2 to 100 dilution, and doing 30 seconds initial gentle agitation, followed by two inversions every 15 seconds till completion, and then your standard, you know, wash, fix. And I still do the aftermath of PMK. I mean, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about on PMK, Google it here on Fidget Revolution. You'll find information on it. You can also Google it online. There's lots of information on what I'm talking about. I'm not going to get into the specifics of how to do PMK, but 12 minutes seemed to be a pretty damn good, you know, starting point, and it gave me a really solid 200. Now, whenever I'm working with a film, I always try to make sure that I've got at least, you know, a stop or two in every other direction that would be usable. In the event that, you know, I either overexpose too much or underexpose too much, I want to know that I have that latitude. In the PMK, I could probably pull out a 400. The shadows would be a bit thin, but it was there. And I could definitely do a 100, so that wasn't a problem. So that was a decent solution. But then I decided to turn to one of my favorite developers, and people that have listened to me here on Fidgetal know that I'm a huge fan of Diafine. And Diafine is a wonderful two-part developer. You have an A and you have a B. You can Google it here or search on Fidgetal. I've written countless articles on how to use Diafine. And I settled on 4 minutes in A and 4 minutes in B. Now, one note is that I'm doing Diafine in my Jobo. So it's continuous, you know, rotary agitation, which is different than your standard Diafine processing techniques. The one advantage I find to the rotary is I get very even development, something that I didn't always get when using tanks. You might get a whisker more grain with the rotary as opposed to your standard agitation procedures, but if you do in medium format, you're really not going to see it. So anyway, so I'm doing Diafine 4 minutes in A, 4 minutes in B. Diafine is not temperature sensitive, so I always just run it at 70 degrees Fahrenheit just for consistency's sake, but it really doesn't matter. 4 minutes A, 4 minutes B at rotation setting 3. So if you have a Jobo that has a rotation adjustment, I would suggest rotation setting 3. So 4 minutes in A, 4 minutes in B, no pre-wet, followed by stop, fix, and wash. And by the way, all the other steps of the process I do at rotation setting P, so I just turn up the speed because there's no reason to do those at the slower rotation cycle, and dried the film. And what was interesting about Diafine was that I got the best shadows and the best overall contrast control, hands down. And I also really like how the grain looks. It's very fine, it's very sharp, and it's beautiful. I thought that the Diafine gave me a usable exposure index from around 100 out to safely 400 and potentially even maybe 640, but that would be about it. 640, I don't know if you'd get 800. 800 would be close. Maybe if I extended the diaphane a little bit more to 5 plus 5 or something, I might be able to get a little more out of it, but I doubt it. So in my mind, you could shoot the film at, you know, 400, 200, 100, and in any of those exposure indexes with diaphane, it's a really great winner. The compensating qualities of diaphane really control the film overall, and it tames a film that's extremely high contrast and just makes it look beautiful. So here's my question. Which one do you prefer? Do you prefer the PMK at 200, or do you prefer the diaphane post that I'm showing at 400? An interesting note, too, is I shot these in my Rolly TLR. It's one of the Rolleiflex wides, so it's a beautiful, you know, wide-angle 55-millimeter Distagon lens. And I'm waiting for my red filter to show up. So I'm curious, when I shoot these with the red filter, what should happen is it should bring out more of the infrared quality, but it also should help control contrast as well. Just because of the nature of using that filter, I should actually have slightly better contrast control. It's kind of counter to what you think it would be, but I should have slightly better contrast control and a little bit more of the infrared quality in the image. So I, for one, think this is a very interesting film. It's one that I hope they continue to make, and I know they also make an 80S version of this film. I have yet to have a chance to try it. I'd be curious to see how it would respond to diaphane. I've heard mixed reviews of that film, but in diaphane, but I can't help to think that it would probably be okay. And once again, if you're working with diaphane, this is actually an interesting thing. When you work with diaphane traditionally, I've mentioned here on Fidgetal that you a lot of times have to apply an S-curve to add some more contrast to the file, because diaphane is a very flat developer. With this film, you actually don't need to, because the film is such high contrast that the diaphane was really a perfect marriage. The film scanned up great. So, you know, if you're looking for a film that you can shoot at 200 or 400 that has a classic grain structure, that has, you know, some infrared qualities to it, this is a very interesting film. But once again, remember, you have to load the film in subdued lighting. Do not try to load it in bright sun shining on your camera, because you most definitely will have an issue with light piping. And that's it. So take the poll, see which film you like, tell me which look you like the best. And thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.